Why don't we just stand, stretch our legs a little bit, and while you're standing, open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. This passage, actually what we want to look at is verses 1 through 34, and I'm not going to try and read all of that. I want to go over part of it, just relating to you what we find in the verses, and then we will read starting around verse 13. But let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we ask, dear Lord, that you would bless in the preaching of thy word tonight. Lord, we know the heart of each person present. We ask, dear Lord, that you would work in our midst tonight. And Lord, we trust you to give us the blessing we need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read just to you quickly. Verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You may be seated. Now, when we go back to verse 1, we read, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, this passage is lengthy, and so I'm not trying to read all the verses. But what we need to see is that in verses 1 through 12, we have the stage being set for what happens beginning in verse 13. Now, verse 1 sets the stage with Jesus being surrounded by lots and lots of people. We read that it was an innumerable multitude of people. And so Jesus was not going to let the opportunity slip by. And so we have all these people, and he begins to teach. And if we go down through the verses, we'll see that he warned about the matter of hypocrisy. He talked about the Pharisees and how they were hypocrites. Then he warned of coming judgment. And, you know, we all need to be aware of that constantly. There's coming a day when we're going to have to give an account. He emphasized the importance of each individual in the sight of God. And sometimes we forget that. Jesus taught the multitudes, but he also dealt with people on an individual basis. And God not just loves the whole world, but he loves you and he loves me. He deals with us on an individual basis as well as on looking at us as part of his great creation. He spoke of the importance. Jesus spoke of the importance of confessing him publicly. Now, it's important for us today to do that. We don't need to be silent disciples. We need to let people know that we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we need to let people know that we are proud of the fact that God has done a work in our hearts and lives, and we know that we're on our way to heaven. Amen? We're not proud because we're better than anybody else. We're just proud to say that God did have mercy on me. Amen? And we can relate that to other people. And then Jesus went on to tell warning them about committing the unpardonable sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And he was teaching the people. Now that set the stage. What was going on was this. Jesus was teaching on some very important topics, but there was a young man who was standing there listening to all this, but he wasn't hearing anything. You know, it happens like that sometimes in church. We come to church, we hear the message, we sit here and hear it, but it's not registering, you know. It's, as we say, it goes in one ear and out the other. We can be going out the door and somebody say, what was it that the pastor used that reference again, and we have no clue. But we sat through the whole service. Well, this young man, he was listening, but he wasn't hearing. And he was distracted by something that he thought was more important. And that happens to you and me sometimes. We get in the service and maybe we're trying to read our Bible at home. And we're going over the words, but in our mind, we're thinking about something that either happened yesterday or something that's going to happen later on in the day. And we're just not concentrating on what we are reading or what we are hearing. Well, this young man, he was in this situation. And he had something on his mind that he felt was more important than anything that Jesus had touched on in his teaching. And I want you to think about that in your own life. Are you guilty of that? Has God been trying to teach you something, and you've been distracted by things that really aren't all that important? Because this young man, now he thought it was important, but it was really nothing more than a distraction. Now look at what he was distracted about. We're going to read now, starting with verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, this is Jesus' response, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now, what was it that was bugging this young man? It was the matter of earthly wealth. Evidently, Dad had died, and his older brother, which was a custom, received the inheritance of the family farm. Now, you people know how this thing works. If you keep dividing the farm, generation after generation after generation, it doesn't take long for all you've got is a garden plot. You know, a farm has to have a certain size to be able to sustain itself. And so it was common, it was normal for the eldest son to be responsible for the inheritance of the family farm. Now, that didn't mean that the younger brother got kicked out. Usually he got maybe a house in town or something special like that. And he could live on the farm, work on the farm, receive the benefits of the harvest and everything else. But he wanted it put in his name. He wanted this to be his. He wanted the property to be divided so that he had half of it. And Jesus just said, I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to get into that. Now look what he did. He took advantage of this situation, and he teaches on a matter that is very important. And that's the verse that I read while ago. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, you ought to mark that verse in your Bible. That's a good verse. There's a lot in that verse. I'll read it again. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, Jesus had made it clear he wasn't going to get involved in this dispute, this family dispute, but he gave a warning. And that warning was not just for that young man. That warning was for you and for me. Now, in the Ten Commandments, God gave clear instruction concerning the matter of covetousness. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, God said, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, this young man that was speaking to Jesus was a Jew. He should have known that. But whether or not he could recite the Ten Commandments, we don't know. He probably could, but they had not gotten from his head to his heart. That's for sure. And he wanted what his brother had. It was covetousness. Now, because of our sinful nature, all of us have to deal with covetousness in our own hearts. You know that? I mean, honestly, we do. Can you ever remember a time in your life, I don't know, maybe something else, but maybe your neighbor drives up with a brand new automobile, and you think, I'm going to get me a new automobile too. And it's not that you need a new automobile. It's because your neighbor's got one and you want one. You want something because somebody else has it. That's not a good reason. Now, if you need it, fine. All right? If you need it, fine. But we ought not to desire anything just because someone else has it. That's not the right thing. And, our whole society, the whole economic system, is based on getting us to buy stuff we don't need anyway. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you got a garage you can't get your car into? Yeah? We got a car, and it sits outside collecting dirt because we got so much stuff in the garage, we can't get it in there. And, we bought all this stuff. Well, maybe you need it, maybe you don't, but I know how it is in society. And you see the advertising, they want to convince you that you have a substandard level of living because you don't have their product. They're trying to convince you all the time that your life just is not up to par because you don't have the product that they're promoting on TV. Now, listen, Jesus was taking advantage of the situation to teach this young man and to teach others that were around him and to teach you and me about the matter of covetousness and to teach us concerning the matter of how we use material things. Okay? And notice, we are to use material things rather than material things using us. Amen? Now let's go on here. Look at verse 16. And he spake a parable. Now that's a story to illustrate spiritual truth. Okay? And, this matter of covetousness, I talked about in the introduction to our slides presentation that Paul had to deal with problems in the early church. Well, covetousness was one of those problems that he had to deal with. As a matter of fact, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, one of the things you need to teach on is this matter of covetousness. Look over in your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, this is a problem that has been around for a long time. And it was there in the early church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6, we read, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's why when you buy a cemetery plot, it's only big enough to put a coffin in. Because you're not going to load it down with other stuff. I mean, you can't take it with you. And that's what he's telling us. He's telling us that we brought nothing into this world. We're not taking anything with us when we leave this world. And he said, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which whilst some coveted after, there it is, covetousness, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. The warning. Beware of covetousness. And what does he say about this thing of wealth? He says, some have coveted after, and they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wealth does not bring peace of heart. And you can see it all around you. People who have lots of things, But they've got lots of sorrows. Lots of sorrows. Wealth never brings happiness, does it? And it's never satisfying. Years ago, someone came up to Henry Ford. Now, we know about Henry Ford. And Henry Ford became a very wealthy man because of the Ford automobile. And someone came up to Henry Ford and said, "Mr. Ford, how much money does it take to make a rich man happy?" And Mr. Ford said, "Just one more dollar. Just one more dollar." And that's the way wealth is. You know, it's like salt water. One thing they teach pilots and seamen, if you get out at sea, you know, if your ship goes down and you're stranded out in the ocean, don't drink the salt water. It only makes you thirstier. And that's the way money is. You never have enough of it. Now, if we love money, we're going to find out that we're going to become the servants of money. Or if we love material things, we're going to become the servants of those things. But Jesus taught how it's supposed to be. And that's what we read here in Luke chapter 12. Now, here's this parable. He said in verse 16, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, we could compare the eyes in this verse here. He says over and over again, I. And we could compare that with the eyes in Isaiah 14, where the devil, when we read about how Lucifer rebelled against God and how he said he was going to do these things, I. And just like the devil, this man wanted to exalt himself. And just like the devil, he thought only of self. And the statements made by this very blessed man reveal a lot about him. And he was blessed. Hey, I mean, he had an abundant harvest. Oh, my, it was just unbelievable. He could look at this and say, "I won't ever have to plant again. I have such a harvest that I can't even store it in the barns that exist. And I'm going to have to tear down these barns and build larger barns so I can store my grain." And I can imagine him thinking now, you know, I'm just going to store my grain. I'm going to lease out my land. I won't ever have to plant again. I won't ever have to harvest again. I've got it made. Now, first of all, notice he said, "What shall I do?" He did not consult God about what he should do with his abundance. And you know what? If God, in his goodness and his mercy, blesses you or me with an abundance, maybe an increase in pay you weren't expecting or a bonus or something, we're not supposed to say, "Now what am I going to do with this?" We're supposed to say, "Lord, what am I to do with this?" Amen? Now, for the Christian, we are stewards. You know that word's used in the Bible, steward, stewardship, right? And a steward is someone who manages wealth for another person. Have any of you ever been to Williamsburg, Virginia? Okay. Have you been to the governor's mansion? That's an interesting place. We went there a number of years ago. Someone was paying our way, so we said, "Yeah, let's go." And anyway, we got up there, and we went to the governor's mansion. And as you walk in, the person on the tour will direct your attention to a room which would have been to your left. And the person explains to you that this is the person who is responsible for the, who was responsible for the governor's mansion in colonial times. And anytime anything came into the mansion, they wrote it down, whether it was a sack of flour or whatever it was. And anytime anything left the mansion, they wrote it down. They were responsible for everything. They even had an inventory of all the furniture that was in the mansion. That's how they've been able to put that thing back together. They found the inventory. Now, that person was the steward. That person owned nothing in that whole mansion, but they were responsible for it. And that has to be the mentality of a Christian. Amen? It's not my house. It's not my car. It's not my boat. It's not my stereo. It's not my bank account. It's God's. Amen? And I'm just a steward. I'm just responsible for using it in a way that will be pleasing to Him. Amen? We are stewards. Now this man, instead of saying, "Lord, what should I do with this abundance?" says, "I know what I'm going to do." And he starts making his plans. He doesn't consult God. And then he says, "I have no room where to bestow my fruits." You know what? He was ungrateful. He did not recognize that it was God that had caused his labors to prosper. He said, "I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Now I want you to look, and we're going to come back to Luke, but look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, God informed and taught the children of Israel concerning this matter of wealth. And God blessed them. You know, they left Egypt, and all they had was the clothes on their back. For 40 years, God supplied their needs in the desert. He was going to take them into the promised land earlier, but because of the spies coming back with a bad report, the people rebelled. But God never abandoned his people. And for 40 years, he met every need. They had food to eat. Their shoes did not wear out. But when finally they went into the promised land, God said, "I'm taking you into a land, and you're going to live in houses that you did not build. You're going to eat fruits that you did not plant. You're going to harvest grain that you did not sow." But he wanted them to understand, as you begin to prosper in this new place, I want you to understand something. It's not because of you, it's because of me. Amen? It's not because of you, it's because of me. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and start with verse 10. "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." And look at verse 11. "Beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day." You know what? It's happened over and over again. Someone started out and they didn't have hardly anything. They had a humble spirit. They were submissive to God. They wanted God to use them and God to bless them, and God began to use them and bless them. And then they began to think, "You know, I'm pretty sharp here. I'm getting to be a pretty good business person." And before you know it, they forgot about God. And they're thinking, they're somebody. And when it used to be that they were in church every time the doors were open, well, now they don't have time for church because they're so wrapped up in their business. We saw that in Brazil. People would come, you know, "Preacher, pray that we'll get a job. My husband needs a job." You know, and he'd say, "Yeah, I need a job. Pray that I'll get a job." And we'd pray, God would answer, give him a job. And they couldn't come to church anymore because they had to work. They didn't work when we were having services, but because they had to work, they didn't come to church. Now, see, God, you know, some people, they just can't take the blessing. They don't know how to handle it. Now, this fella, he was forgetting that it was God that had caused the prosperity in his life. In verse 12 here in Deuteronomy 8, it says, "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Boy, that sounds like the United States, doesn't it? Man, God's blessed this country. And this country's forgotten God. Verse 18, or verse 17. "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." Mark that in your Bible. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." If you got health to go to work, it's because God gives it to you. Amen. It is God that gives us power to get wealth. Well, he said, "I have no room where to bestow my fruits." He was ungrateful. He didn't recognize God's blessing. He said, "This will I do." And that's one of the six I's demonstrating his indifference toward God and spiritual things. You know, in the Bible, six is a man's number. And so we got six I's here. "I will pull down my barns and build greater." His plans were all about this life, but no thought was given to the hereafter. And then he says, "There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." So instead of using what he had been blessed with for God's glory, he was just going to hoard. You know, it's mine. It's all mine. Well, then he says, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He was one self-satisfied individual. But you know what? Things were about to change. Verse 20 begins with a very interesting word. But. Now, every time you read the word but, it means that what is going to follow is different or in contrast to what has been stated previously. So things are about to change. You know, you say, "I was going to town, but my car broke down." Okay? Things change, right? Well, now we've got "but God." And boy, that puts a whole new light on things, doesn't it? Now, here's this guy. He's got all these big plans, and God's not included in any of them. But God's about to intervene in his plans. God's going to make some differences in what's going to happen. Verse 20, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" That man was going to die, and he was going to die that night. And God's saying to him, "And now what about your big plans? What about all this stuff you got now?" Now I want you to look at verse 21. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Verse 21 gives us a Bible definition of a fool. In verse 20 it says, "But God said unto him, thou fool." Now, in my Bible, I circled "thou fool," and I drew a line down to verse 21. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Understand, it does not say he died and went to hell. It says he died. Now, every person who dies without Christ is a fool. The unsaved, they reject Christ. They reject God's salvation, his free grace, and they are foolish. But the Bible doesn't say you have to die and go to hell to be a fool. What does it say? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, there's Christians that are doing that. Isn't that right? Now, my question is this. Are you one of them? I don't know. But I ask you, are you one of them? Because this warning is real. Amen? Now, God blesses his people. And you know, being a Christian doesn't mean we're consigned to poverty. Amen? But being a Christian means that we have an obligation to be good stewards of what God puts in our hands. Amen? Now, God, in his wisdom, and I can't explain why, but God in his wisdom has blessed some with more and some with less. But you know, Jesus also told a parable concerning the servants. One received 5 talents, right? 1, 2, and another 1. And the Bible says, each according to his ability. Now, God knows what's right for you and what's right for me, okay? Now, concerning those servants, they were judged according to what they did with what they had. Amen? Now, that's what's important. What you do with what you have. Amen? If you've got a lot, you've got a lot more responsibility. If you have a little, you still have responsibility. You can't say, that guy that he just got one, he went and hid his. And he thought that was going to be okay. It wasn't okay. When the Lord of the house came back, he called him slothful servant, lazy. Now, God has blessed all of us to some degree. Amen. And it's important for you, before your God, to be accountable to him for what you do with what he has blessed you with. Amen? And remember, God blesses his people so that his people can be a blessing to others. Amen? He blesses his people so that his people can be a blessing to others. Now, we have a responsibility for our families to pay our bills, right? You be honest before you try to be generous, amen? But we have to understand we are accountable to God. And we are stewards. What I have is what God has placed in my hands. What you have is what God has placed in your hands, amen? And we have to be sure that we do not fall into the category of what the Bible defines as being a fool. But God said unto him, thou fool. And he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Anyone that lives for self is a fool. Anyone who does not invest in that which is eternal is a fool. Now I ask you, are you some kind of a fool? Years ago, there was a young student in a Bible college, and he penned these words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now that young man went to be a missionary in South America, and he gave his life trying to reach the Awka Indians of South America with the gospel. And today, because of his sacrifice and the sacrifice of 4 other young men, the Awka Indians of South America have been reached with the gospel. Now, one day Jesus spoke about who is wise and who is foolish. Now you, me, are we wise or are we foolish? I want us to think about the words in Matthew chapter 7 as we close. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." He talked about the foolish man, and he talked about the wise man. Are you the wise person or the foolish person? One thing is sure, for every one of us, just like that man in the parable, we're going to have to give an account before God. Amen? Now, if you have never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a fool. I mean, there is no opportunity after death. And you don't know when death will come. None of us know. There's people walking around out here tonight, and tomorrow they'll be in a coffin. We don't know. But we have the opportunity to take advantage of today and make right decisions today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, put your trust in Him today. If you've been a Christian who's been living for self, living what the life of a fool is, just living for self and not being rich toward God, you make the decision tonight, you're going to change. Amen? Let's pray, and I'll ask Pastor to take over. Father,